Have you ever felt like you're just, well, drowning in information? Wishing for a shortcut to really understand some things, to be properly well-informed without it being completely overwhelming?
It's a huge challenge today, absolutely.
Right. But what if AI systems could actually help us? Not just, spitting out facts, but by reasoning in a way that's more human-like, more understandable. Today, we're diving into exactly that, a potentially groundbreaking new approach to how AI thinks.
Sounds fascinating.
Yeah, so our mission today is to unpack this fresh conceptual framework. It's called Blended World Agents, or BWA. It comes from independent researcher Eric David Johnson.
Right, I've seen the paper.
And this isn't just some small update, we think. We're going to explore why this could actually be a genuine game changer for how AI thinks, learns, and maybe even grows its own knowledge.
Okay, well, to really get why BWA could be such a leap, it helps to know what it's up against.
Good point. What's the current standard?
So right now, the dominant method, especially for these big AI models, is something called chain of thought, or CUA-T.
Right, we hear that term a lot.
Exactly. And while it's, had successes, CUA-T is essentially just freeform text. Imagine the AI thinking out loud word by word,
Okay.
which means it's unstructured, it can be hard to verify, and each step uses up a lot of tokens.
Which makes it slow and expensive.
Precisely, slow and
Yep.
expensive. And often you don't really know why the AI landed on a certain conclusion because that internal monologue doesn't always map directly to its, let's say, underlying calculations. It's a bit of a black box.
That's a really good point, the whole black box thing. It makes me think about how we solve problems, right? Humans don't just string words together randomly when we're figuring something out.
No, not at all.
We build internal mental models. So let's unpack this. How does that human way of thinking, especially ideas like mental spaces and conceptual blends from cognitive semantics, how does that inspire BWA?
You've basically hit the nail on the head. That's the core inspiration. BWA aims to mimic that kind of human reasoning. So instead of generating token-level chain of thought, it uses a structured traversal over something called a conceptual blending ontology.
Right.
And this is driven by model-based reinforcement learning. So think of it less like the AI writing a script and more like it's manipulating these interconnected mental structures. This whole architecture, it kind of breaks down into four main parts.
Okay, what are they?
First, there's the conceptual blending ontology itself. Think of that as like the AI's internal library of mental patterns and the rules for combining them.
Got it. Library of patterns.
Second, a reinforcement learning formulation. This is where the AI learns. Its goal is basically to fill in these patterns correctly, learning through practice.
Makes sense.
Third, a latent world model. This is a really compressed internal representation of these patterns. The AI uses it for quick, efficient planning, kind of like internal simulations.
Ah, okay.
Then, and finally, fourth, there's a lightweight LLM interface. This lets any standard large language model, the kind you're familiar with, interact with and update this internal mental world instead of just, spitting out conversational text.
So if I'm hearing you right, the real jump here isn't just what the AI does, but how it actually structures its internal world, almost like giving it a conscious mental blueprint. Is that the main shift?
Precisely. Yeah, it's moving from unstructured thought, like CUA-T, to a structured symbolic internal representation.
And that gives it advantages.
Oh, yeah. This structured approach offers some really compelling advantages, especially for planning. First one is compositional cross-mapping.
Okay, what's that?
It basically allows the AI to reuse parts of plans across different situations. So imagine it figures something out about a buyer in one context. It can instantly apply that knowledge to an applicant in a totally different context without needing to relearn everything from scratch.
Ah, I see. Very efficient.
Very. Second is emergent feature generation. This one's really fascinating. The system can actually synthesize new state variables or slots on the fly.
Really? New ideas.
Exactly. It's not stuck with a fixed set of concepts. It can create new ones as needed when it blends existing ones.
Wow.
And third, local consistency guarantees. Because each blend rule only fires when specific conditions are met, every step the AI takes is a small, verifiable transformation.
So you can trust each step more.
Much more. It leads to reasoning that's incredibly traceable and much less likely to have those internal inconsistencies or, well, hallucinations.
That's fascinating. Okay, so we've sketched out the what and the why of BWA, but the real magic, the bit that takes this from just theory to something potentially groundbreaking, is how it actually translates those human-like thoughts into AI actions.
Right.
Let's pull back the curtain. What are these mental spaces and blend rules in practice?
Right. So at the heart of this conceptual blending ontology, or ACB, you've got two core elements. First is a mental space template. Think of it like a blueprint for a concept, or maybe a scenario. It's a pair. A list of slots, these are like roles or dimensions, and then there are assigned concepts, or maybe just empty placeholders waiting to be filled.
Like a form to fill out.
Sort of, yeah. A car space, for example, might have slots for make, model, color, owner. It's a structured way to hold info about a specific idea.
Got it. And the second element?
The second is a blend template. This is basically a rule. It describes how two input mental spaces can combine or fuse into a new output space.
Ah, the blending part.
Exactly. It includes a mapping that connects slots from the input spaces. And crucially, these blend templates can introduce those emergent slots. We mentioned new variables that didn't exist in the inputs, but kind of pop up as a result of the combination.
That's a very clear picture now.
Yeah.
So if the AI is thinking with these structured spaces, what are the actual actions it takes to manipulate them? What does it do inside this this new cognitive architecture?
Okay, so the BWA has a set of discrete symbolic actions it can take. The main ones are slot fill, slot concept.
Filling in the blanks.
Exactly what it sounds like. Putting a piece of info into a slot, like slot fill, color, red. Simple. The other key action is blend fire rule.
Firing the rule.
Yeah, that applies one of those predefined blend rules to combine mental spaces, but only once all its preconditions are met.
Okay.
There's also a kind of higher level action promote blend, but that's not really part of the moment-to-moment thinking within a task. It's more about learning.
Ah, learning. How does that work?
And that promote action actually points to one of BWA's really clever design choices, a two-time scale scheme for learning.
Two-time scales.
Yeah, imagine two gears turning at different speeds. You've got a fast task loop. This is where the AI is learning to solve specific problems using the mental spaces and blend rules it currently has. Its ontology is frozen, basically.
Okay, practice mode.
Right, it's practicing refining its skills. Then there's a much slower ontology loop that runs between these task episodes.
After the task is done.
Exactly. And that's where those promote blend actions happen. They allow the system to actually update and expand its underlying ontology, its library of spaces and rules based on blends that prove successful and consistent during the task loop.
So it learns from experience between tasks.
Right. Which means the system can continuously grow its knowledge base without messing up the core learning process while it's actually working on a problem.
But I had to ask, this BWA system sounds very self-contained, very symbolic with its own internal structures. How does a normal pre-trained large language model, like the ones we all use, how does it actually talk to this different kind of brain? Is it like a clunky connection or is it more elegant?
Surprisingly elegant, actually, and it's designed for efficiency. So instead of the LLM just generating that free-form chain of thought text, it queries and updates BWA's latent space, that compressed representation, directly. There are two main ways this integration happens.
Okay.
The first is called prompt-level injection.
Oh.
Basically, the BWA framework slips a tiny, almost invisible control header into the LLM's prompt.
A secret message.
Sort of, like a very short encrypted whisper. Something like world ZYD CZ 12. It's small, maybe 5-10 tokens.
Okay.
Yeah, but that little string resolves to a much larger latent vector, the AI's internal mental state, which is stored out of band, so it's not actually in the prompt text itself.
Ah, clever. Why do that?
Token efficiency. It's way, way more efficient than trying to print out, say, a 256-dimensional vector as hundreds of decimal numbers in the prompts.
Right, that would be huge.
Exactly. Plus, it has security features like randomized IDs, time limits, read-only access for the LLM to prevent any accidental or malicious messing around.
Okay, that's one way. What's the other?
The second path is the conceptual adapter route. This uses a small, separate neural network, an MLP, acting like a super-fast translator.
The translator.
Yeah. It maps that latent vector, the AI's mental state, directly into a prefix embedding. This embedding then gets silently added to the front of the LLM's input tokens. Yep. The amazing thing is it consumes zero extra tokens at inference time. It's like a background translation optimizing the LLM's understanding.
Wow. No extra cost at runtime.
Right. Now, this way does require some offline fine-tuning to train that little adapter network.
Okay, some setup needed.
A bit,
Huh?
yeah. But importantly, the main LLM itself isn't being retrained from scratch every time.
And that connects to how it adapts, if
Yes.
the ontology grows.
Exactly. This leads to another really clever part. As the BWA ontology grows with new mental spaces and blend rules, the static LLM can adapt without needing a full, expensive retraining. It uses these lightweight mechanisms, like small adapter fine-tunes, think LoRA, where you only train a tiny fraction of new parameters offline. That helps the LLM associate new action strings, like blend fire for a new rule, with the right probabilities.
So minor tweak.
Minor tweaks. Or another method is retrieval augmented context. The LLM gets shown examples of similar actions for newly created templates. That lets it handle them immediately, sort of zero shot, just using in-context learning until the next adapter update happens.
This all sounds incredibly powerful in theory, very sophisticated. So let's make it concrete. What does this actually mean when you apply it to a practical, relatable problem? Let's walk through that scenario from the paper. Helping someone buy their first home.
Okay, yeah, the first time home purchase microdomain. It's a great illustration of BWA in action.
So how would it work?
The system would start with some predefined mental spaces, maybe an offer space with slots for buyer, property, offer price.
Standard spot for an offer.
Right, and then maybe a finance space with slots like applicant, loan amount, approved.
For the mortgage side.
Exactly. And the AI's overall goal is to generate a final deal space where all the crucial slots, person, property, price, financing approved, are filled in correctly and consistently.
Okay, so how do offer space and finance space come together?
That's where the blend rule comes in. There'd be a specific rule, let's call it REMED 1, that acts like a mortgage deal rule. It's designed to fuse the offer space and finance space into that new deal space.
The fusion rule.
Yeah. And this rule contains specific mappings. For instance, it explicitly knows that the buyer from the offer space should map to the applicant in the finance space.
Connecting the dots.
Right. And when the conditions for BW 1 are met, like maybe the buyer and applicant names match and the offer price matches the requested loan amount, then the rule can fire.
Okay, conditions met, rule fires, then what?
It copies those matching values into the new deal space. And crucially, it might generate an emergent slot like financing approved based on the value of the approved slot in the finance space.
Ah, creating new info based on the blend.
Exactly. So you could imagine a hypothetical episode. The AI takes some slot fill actions based on maybe user input or documents it read. Slot fill, offer price 200Ks, slot fill, loan amount 200K.
Pulling in the details.
Once enough slots are filled and the preconditions for that blend rule one are satisfied, the AI can execute blend fire BW 1, boom.
And that creates the deal space.
Effectively, yeah. It seals the deal in its internal mental model, creates the deal space, confirms financing is approved or not, and moves closer to the overall goal of completing the home purchase task.
That's a great example. Really walks through the steps. So when you look at that scenario, what truly stands out about how BWA is working there? How does it really show off those advantages we talked about earlier?
Yeah, what that scenario really brings home is BWA's ability to create this transparent, verifiable mental trail. That's the interpretability aspect.
It could see its work.
Exactly. Every latent state, even though it's compressed, can be decoded back into an inspectable slot value table. You can literally trace the AI's reasoning. What info is it using? Which slots are filled? How do these spaces blend? It's a huge contrast to the opacity of chain of thought, where you often just see the final answer.
Right, no more black box.
Hopefully. Second, the token efficiency is really obvious there. Each symbolic action, slot fill, blend fire, it probably only needs a few tokens from the LLM to trigger.
Instead.
Instead of the 10 to 30 tokens, maybe more, that a typical Kochi step might generate. Think about the cost and speed savings, especially if an AI is doing this kind of reasoning constantly, like a financial advisor bot.
Huge difference.
Massive. And finally, the extensibility. Let's say you want to add a new concept later, like an appraisal space.
Okay.
You just define a new list of slots for it and maybe a new blend rule to connect it to the deal space. You wouldn't need to retrain the core encoder or the LLM interface from scratch. The system can just integrate this new piece of knowledge pretty seamlessly.
That modularity seems key. Which brings us to maybe the most ambitious part of this whole thing. If BWA starts with just, say, a few dozen templates, how does it get to that broad understanding of the world? How does it build this vast knowledge base, potentially on its own? It raises a huge question. How does it actually learn to learn and expand its own knowledge autonomously.
Right. This is arguably BWA's potential superpower, its self-expansion loop. It's designed to operate in four quite ingenious phases.
Okay, break it down for us.
First phase, corpus harvesting. An LLM reads through massive amounts of raw text, articles, books, websites, whatever.
Hey.
And it identifies candidate mental spaces directly from that text. Think of it sifting through information, pulling out conceptual blueprints it sees recurring.
Finding patterns in the wild.
Exactly. Second phase, draft rule synthesis. That same LLM, using its function calling abilities, then looks at the spaces it harvested and proposes new blend rules. It identifies potential overlaps and mappings between these spaces.
So it suggests ways to connect them.
Precisely. Third phase, and this is critical, latent planner vetting. These newly proposed rules aren't just accepted, they're marked as experimental.
Testing them out.
Right. They get simulated thousands of times within that efficient latent world model. The system checks if using these rules leads to better outcomes, higher rewards, and consistent results in planning tasks. Only the rules that demonstrate real value and consistency get promoted to become part of the stable official ontology.
So it validates them internally before adding them.
Rigorously validates them. And finally, there's an optional fourth phase, human in the loop. Reviewers can look at the promoted templates, maybe approve them, maybe tweak them slightly, providing feedback that further refines the system.
Giving it some guidance.
Exactly. So it's this cycle. Harvest, propose, vet, promote, optionally review.
Can you give us a quick example of that synthesis part?
Sure. Imagine the system reads text like, Dr. Smith booked flights to Tokyo for the AI conference next month, while Dr. Lee arranged the hotel for the same event.
Okay. Two related actions.
Right. The system might harvest a travel space with slots like agent, destination, date, and maybe a logistics space for accommodation details.
Two separate spaces.
Then the LLM, using function calling, might notice the overlap in conference, same time frame. It could propose a new blend rule.
How?
It might suggest mapping agent from both spaces to a shared participant slot, mapping destination to event location, date to event date. Then it could create a new space, maybe conference trip space.
Combining the info.
And generating emergent slots, like transportation arranged and lodging arranged, setting them to yes if the input spaces had that info. This newly proposed blend rule then goes into that vetting phase.
That's really clever. But it still sounds like you could end up with a ton of potential new rules. How does it avoid just getting bogged down, trying to connect everything to everything else? That sounds like a combinatorial nightmare.
You're absolutely right. Naively trying to compare every new mental space template with every single existing one to see if they could blend, that would be an ON problem. As the ontology grows, it would grind to a halt.
So how do they crack that?
They use a really smart pruning the blend rule search space strategy. It has two main stages.
Okay.
First, slot signature filtering. Each mental space template gets hashed down into a fixed length slot signature. Think of it like a unique fingerprint based on the types of slots it contains.
A compact summary.
Exactly. So when a new template comes in, the system doesn't compare it exhaustively to every other template. Instead, it only looks for existing templates whose signatures are very similar, using something like Hamming distance.
So it only looks at likely candidates.
Precisely. This drastically cuts down the number of pairs it even needs to consider. It makes the search much closer to O log N, or maybe even ON in practice. Not ON.
Huge difference. What's the second stage?
The second stage is mapping verification. For the few pairs that survive that initial signature filtering.
Well, likely candidates.
The system then actually tries to build a concrete slot mapping between them. Can buyer map to applicant? Does date map to start date? If it can't find a valid mapping quickly, or if the mapping seems illogical, that pair is just discarded.
Another filter.
Right. It ensures that only the most promising, structurally compatible pairs even get considered for becoming a full blend rule proposal, which then goes to the vetting phase. It turns that massive search problem into something genuinely manageable.
And does this lead to faster growth over time?
That's the idea. It suggests there's potentially a tipping point. If the initial ontology is too small, maybe below 50 templates or so, overlaps are rare and growth is slow.
Not enough connections.
Right. But once it crosses a certain threshold of coverage, overlaps become much more common. The vetting process starts finding and promoting good rules more frequently. And this kicks off a positive feedback cycle.
How so?
Validated rules make the AI better at planning. Better planning allows it to tackle more complex problems, which in turn exposes even richer overlaps between concepts,
leading to more potential rules.
Exactly, accelerating the growth of the ontology. This kind of self-improving loop is something current chain of thought agents just can't do, because their intermediate thoughts are temporary, they're just discarded.
Okay, let's connect this back to the bigger picture then, especially for folks working with AI now. How does BW8 really stack up against chain of thought, the current best in class? Are we talking small tweaks or a fundamental shift here?
I'd argue the contrasts are pretty stark, and it points towards a fundamental shift in several ways.
Okay, let's hear them.
Well, first, representation. TOTI is, as we said, freeform text, unstructured. BWA uses an explicit structured blend graph, completely different.
Structure versus no structure.
Right. Second, verifiability. TOTI is prone to hallucinations, often needs checking after the fact. BWA has these real-time slot-level checks. It's driven by a symbolic planner, much more verifiable moment-to-moment.
Trustworthiness.
Potentially much higher, yes. Third, token cost per step. We talked about this. KOTI, 10, 30 tokens, maybe more. BWA aiming for potentially one token per ontology action via those adapters. Huge difference in operational cost.
Cost and speed.
Big time. Fourth, reusability. KOTI's thoughts are ephemeral, gone after use. BWA's templates are designed to be systematically reused across different problems, different episodes.
Building lasting knowledge.
Exactly. And fifth, crucially, ontological growth. KOTI has none. It doesn't build its own persistent knowledge base. BWA has this built-in mechanism for automatic growth via function calling and that latent planner vetting.
Learns to learn.
That's the potential, yes. It's really a different paradigm for how an AI could acquire and apply knowledge over time.
So to really boil it down for everyone listening, the core benefits we're seeing with blended world agents are, first, interpretability reasoning steps you can actually trace and inspect, not a black box.
Mm-hmm.
Second, significant sample efficiency, because that compact latent space allows for tons of offline planning and learning.
Right, learning faster from less data.
And third, incredible modularity, letting the different parts, the ontology, the world model, the LLM interface, evolve somewhat independently. Those are really powerful claims. For someone maybe working with KDE models daily, how significant are these benefits likely to be in practice? Are we talking nice to haves, or could this really change the game?
That is the key question, isn't it? And while it's still research, the potential for a paradigm shift feels very real.
Why do you say that?
Well, think about AI in high-stakes areas. Mm. Finance, healthcare, engineering. Interpretability isn't just nice. It's often essential for trust, for debugging, for meeting regulations. The token efficiency could dramatically lower the cost of running complex reasoning tasks, making sophisticated AI much more accessible and scalable than it is today.
Democratizing advanced AI.
Potentially, yes. And that modularity combined with the autonomous growth. It suggests AI systems could eventually adapt and specialize to new domains without constant, expensive human handholding and retraining. That really changes the long-term picture for AI development.
Okay, so the potential upside is huge. But it's still research, as you said. What are the current limitations? Where does more work need to be done?
Oh, absolutely. It's important to be realistic. This is still a developing framework. There are definitely challenges. For instance, scaling up that initial extraction of mental spaces from the sheer variety and messiness of long-tail text online, that's still a big research problem.
Getting the initial seeds.
Right. And for very open-ended tasks where the rewards or goals are sparse and unclear, that can still be a challenge for the reinforcement learning side. Techniques like curriculum learning will need more exploration there.
Okay. What else?
We also really need a standardized benchmark suite, maybe a blend bench, to rigorously compare BWA against current cobot methods on fair playing fields.
Apples to apples comparison.
Exactly. And while the core BWA framework seems language agnostic, getting truly robust multilingual coverage with ontologies reflecting different cultural nuances, that's a whole other layer of complexity that's promising, but largely untested.
Fair points. Mm. Any other considerations, maybe ethical ones?
Yes, absolutely. And it's a critical point for wider adoption. While having structured reasoning increases transparency, which is good, It also means that just like human knowledge systems, cultural assumptions or biases present in the training data could inadvertently become hard-coded into the ontology structure itself.
If the source text is biased, the ontology might be too.
Precisely. So the researchers rightly emphasize that for any serious application, the training corpora need extremely careful curation for diversity and fairness. Ideally, every blend rule should maintain traceable provenance, linking back to the source text it came from. That allows for audits.
Accountability.
Yes. And for high-stakes domains, think finance, law, medicine, there will likely need to be community governance around these versioned ontologies. External oversight to ensure the AI's underlying knowledge structures are sound, fair, and appropriate for the application. It's about building trust and accountability right into the foundation.
That makes a lot of sense. So wrapping up this part, what we've really explored today is how BWA offers this, well, compelling path towards AI agents, whose reasoning isn't just accurate, but hopefully auditable, much more economical, and potentially truly self-improving. It's a fascinating bridge between cognitive science theory and practical AI engineering.
Well put.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into blended world agents. We've dug into the core idea that even maybe a small starting set of conceptual templates, when combined with this clever self-expanding framework, could fundamentally change how AI reasons and learns, potentially moving way beyond the limits of today's chain of thought.
It's exciting to think about.
It really is. So here's a thought for you, our listener, to chew on. Imagine an AI that doesn't just process information, but actually understands and grows its knowledge, kind of like we do, by making connections, creating new concepts. What problems, big or small, could you imagine tackling with an agent like that, maybe in your own life or your work?
Interesting question.
Definitely something to ponder. We love hearing your thoughts, by the way. Let us know what other complex topics you'd like us to dig into next time. Until then, keep exploring.